Hey, this is Jonathan with Limitless Mindset, and this is the Q&A podcast number 10, Martinitsa edition. That means that it's merch time. And I apologize to the people whose questions I'm answering because you have waited some time. It has been a little while since I did one of these Q&A podcasts, so we've got a lot of questions. And the first one came from a guy on my YouTube channel who goes by the moniker Mahi. And yes, I actually do respond to the questions that people post on my YouTube channel. A lot of people might not do this because YouTube comment sections can kind of be akin to like a trash dump, but in my YouTube comments, I actually get pretty good questions and pretty good feedback from people. And so this guy, Mahi, he was asking about CMAX, and he said, if you take it for a long period, like 4 months or maybe longer, and then stop, will you have a lasting increased intelligence? Like if I use it and started reading more and more faster, increasing my language skills and using other brain parts similarly while I'm on it, and then after 4 months, will there be a significant increase in intelligence after I quit it? And he's asking again about CMAX, which is a BDNF promoting nootropic peptide that you stick in your nose, actually. And the science of BDNF as a mechanism, along with a lot of the anecdotal reports that I came across when I was researching that 4,000 or 5,000 word article on CMAX, indicated to me that yes, it should have a positive effect on increasing your intelligence even when you go off of it, because BDNF is, you know, a really essential part of neurogenesis, neuroplasticity, the building of new parts of the brain. And those parts remain after you've gone off of these drugs. So it should do that for you. Although, to be straight up with you, I feel like if you're looking for a drug that will make your mind better even after you go off of it, if you're looking for a drug that will like permanently improve you, which is, that's kind of what we're looking for, right? Is you don't want to become kind of like a lifetime customer of these things necessarily. You ideally want to like take something and use it for a period of like a couple of months that you're intensively pursuing some path of mastery, and then have improved yourself, improved your mind, and then, you know, have the choice of using it in the future or not. And I'd actually probably recommend like oxiracetam or piracetam higher if that's what your goal is. But that is the mechanism that BDNF works on. So I think CMAX is worth trying out. I hope that you do what you're suggesting here, which is like doing like 4 months and then going off of it and seeing if the increase in intelligence is sustained. If it is, Mr. or Mrs. Mahi, I hope you shoot me a follow-up email and let me know how that worked out for you. And then we also heard a person who said they were inspired by bliss. Just kidding. That was their name on their comment. And they said tianeptine versus L-tyrosine / 5-HTP. Which is better? I mean, he said, talking about me, he said, tyrosine 5-HTP is better for motivation and also mood lifting. What about tianeptine as a standalone? I need answers because HTP and tyrosine I can try, but tianeptine I've never heard of. So tianeptine is a pretty different kind of smart drug from 5-HTP and tyrosine. And actually, 5-HTP, I have some reservations about that. In fact, I called 5-HTP a womanly antidepressant, which is not an insult, but I just, looking at the evidence, looking at some of the anecdotes, I don't think that 5-HTP is that strong and that consistent of a antidepressant. And it also has kind of some side effects to it that I don't really like. And personally, I found 5-HTP to have a really revolting taste. So I didn't like it very much. Whereas tyrosine, it has almost everything going for it. It has a really consistent effect of uplifting your mood and making you more energetic. And it has a positive effect on your cognition. It has positive effect on stress. It has a really consistent anti-fatigue effect, and it's quite affordable if you check it out through some of the sources that I'll link to in the article that you'll find this podcast, linking to. And I feel a bit better about tianeptine as an antidepressant. Tianeptine is a very consistent antidepressant because it's an opioid. So you want to consider a little bit of that like risk-reward trade-off with it. If you're a person who's perhaps had issues in the past with addiction, and perhaps if you've struggled with opioids in the past, you'd want to probably steer clear of tianeptine. But if you have a relatively non-addictive kind of personality, you're probably pretty okay with using tianeptine. And if it was my choice about it, I would go with something like tianeptine as a antidepressant measure, and go with tyrosine as a motivation measure. And then there's a really cool guy that comments on my videos with some frequency. His name is Paul Ancilla, or is that Ancilla? I never know if I'm dealing with when I see a name, a woman's name that has a C in the middle of it, if it's a soft C or a hard C. But Paul and Ancilla asked, do you think some smart drugs or a particular smart drug may work well for some people and have very little or no effect at all for others? How do you explain this? Just different genetics and brain chemistry, or maybe the quality of the product or how it's administered. Is there a good, bad way you have determined in your experience to take nootropics, or does it vary depending on the substance? Are there things you can do to negative or minimize any undesirable effects, or protect your brain chemistry and health if you are a chronic nootropics user, or one more into taking risk and trying newer nootropics? Geez, Paul, that's like 4.5 questions in that one. But this is a good question that a lot of people do wonder about. And the answer is yes to at least the first question that you asked, which is that there is biodiversity among humans and amongst our response to pharmacological agents. And this is why you'll typically see a spectrum if you go into the anecdotal experience that people are reporting about a given nootropic. And the truth is that there's a couple of things that do seem to work pretty consistently. And those would be the nootropics that you're hearing me discuss consistently. The racetams and adaptogens. Those seem to have a pretty high level of consistency for people. And modafinil is a bit less consistent, but it's still a contender in there. Other than that, I encourage people to do their own self-experimentation. This is why for probably if you look at my content over the past year, perhaps over the past 2 years, I've been focused a lot more on talking to people about self-experimentation with single ingredient products so that they can do some self-quantification and some determination of how they respond to single ingredients. And I've been doing that as opposed to talking about a bunch of different stack products, because those stack products where they are universalizing a package of different ingredients for everybody, with those, you have a whole lot less of an opportunity to accurately gauge exactly how different things are affecting you individually. So I am encouraging people to kind of go the longer, more meticulous, more rigorous route of using these smart drugs, which is figuring out what things work for you. And yeah, you're totally right. There's going to be differences in genetics, differences in brain chemistry, differences in history, what they've been through. There's going to be qualitative differences with a product also. But as long as you're getting the pharmaceutical grade where it's been verified above 97% purity by a third-party certificate of analysis, usually as long as it's pharmaceutical grade, you can have a similar expectation from product to product or vendor to vendor. And I would say if you're looking at trying to see what is a lower risk grade and what is a higher risk grade, well, a lot of times in my articles, I give things a risk grade in between A, which would be, you know, good, very good, and F, which would be something quite bad, probably something that you should totally avoid. So a lot of times you can find that in my articles. Sometimes I'll have these videos and podcasts that I put out about things, but then I will get some more research or I'll be updating an article and I'll put it in there. So sometimes my podcast may not contain the most up-to-date, complete information about making your risk-reward trade-off on things. And then finally, if you're trying to mitigate your risk, you want to look for nootropics that have quality science done on them. So they have double-blind, human, placebo-controlled clinical trials that are done within the past 10 years that are saying that they are safe. And if they don't have that, then if they don't have that in place, then these are going to be things that are going to fall into in gradations of risk go. If they don't have double-blind human placebo-controlled studies done in the past 10 years, then they're going to be something that I would rank, you know, maybe like a B-, maybe rank them in the C territory. So those are some things to think about. And then there was a guy named Aldo Velez. He asked me, have you ever used DNA Fit or any of these private labs that provide tests for hormone levels, biomarkers, or microbiome? They seem to suggest that having one's genetic biomarkers, hormone profile, microbiome can allow for the optimization of one's diet and further control of the body's homeostasis. What are your thoughts? My thoughts are, I think that those things are all pretty good. I think DNA Fit, I've taken a gander at their website a couple times. I think 23andMe, I think those are all a pretty good idea, because you may have a little gene somewhere in there that you don't know about that has a that is going to be an accomplice to the Grim Reaper at some period in your future. And if you know that you have a specific gene for a specific disease, then you can take proactive steps at this point. So, I mean, when the downside is death via some really unpleasant chronic disease, when that's the downside, that seems like a total win-win to get that sort of thing done. And it's on my list of biohacker things to do. So I'd love to hear from you. If you get your DNA Fit done, let us know what you thought of it. Okay. We also heard from Walt. And okay. This was interesting. This was actually a quite good question. So I said in my video. There's a video that I did about a product called Qualia, which a lot of you probably know about Qualia. And in the video, I said, if you are taking nootropic ingredients in a lot lower dosages, then there's no good reason to think that they'll actually do you any good. Okay, and Walt responded to this. He said, this is false and potentially dangerous logic. Can you think of or even imagine any nutritional that is both good for you in the tested dose and worse for you in lesser doses than taking none at all? Would you tell me to blow off vitamin C completely if I could not achieve the RDA? Ridiculous. I know of no chemical that behaves as you suggest, and really it doesn't even make sense. Furthermore, testing your dosages rarely compares a full spectrum of dosages, rarely has long-term effects data, and rarely can give you guidance based upon the variable absorption and metabolic rate of individuals. Finally, it is a grievous error to assume that research is without bias and has been properly vetted and critiqued. Consider that all of the above concerns are especially true for nootropics, which are largely new and novel to general consumption in particular. Your advice thus should be exactly the opposite, suggesting that users of these drugs begin with a fraction of the suggested dose and consume more only after gauging the effects. Be careful, my friend. You're taking on a grave responsibility when broadcasting nutritional advice. Being conservative, thorough, and highly skeptical is totally appropriate. So this is a pretty good argument, but I think I'm going to stand behind my original statement because my views and opinions are derived almost completely from the clinical human trials that are being done with these drugs and supplements. And in these clinical trials, they are going to use whatever is the minimum effective dose of a given supplement to achieve a result. They, in these clinical trials, they're not going to do what you see some of these kind of foolhardy biohackers on the internet doing, where they just take like an extreme dosage, or they just take like a attack dosage. In these clinical trials, they are doing what you're suggesting here, which is being conservative, and they're starting out at like what is the minimum possible, the minimum effective dosage? And they're trying to get the most bang for their buck out of the minimum effective dosage. And then they are putting those results into the study because, of course, if you're conducting a study with human participants, you're going to be extremely risk averse. The very last thing that you want in your study is for your subjects, your human subjects, to experience toxicity, or your human subjects to experience some type of negative side effect from excessive use of what the supplement is. So what I would suggest is that in the trials that I'm deriving my conclusions from, they are most likely in most cases. Again, I'm making a bit of a generalization of saying what is probably true most of the time. And I'm sure there's going to be fringe examples that would contradict this. But what is true most of the time is that the researchers are trying to figure out minimum effective dose. And you also want to consider, in most of these human clinical trials, what they are doing is they are looking to treat, cure, or prevent different diseases and negative health conditions. They're often not, although there's a minority, I would say it's maybe like 10%, 15%, probably not more than 20% of the human clinical studies that are done specifically on healthy people and seeing how healthy people respond. Usually they're seeing how these supplements or drugs are useful for treating unhealthy, sick people. And what they're doing is they're looking for minimum effective dose to treat unhealthy people. And so I would actually kind of suggest that in a lot of cases, if you're an, in the majority of cases, if you're an already healthy, otherwise vigorous, otherwise, you know, balanced biology person, you're probably actually going to need a bit more than, in a lot of cases, you're going to need a bit more than what was the dosage in the studies for the sick people to give you some type of enhancement above baseline, because those neurobiological chemical deficiencies that the drug is making up for in the sick people and making them better, that's something that you already have on baseline. But this is a bit of a slippery issue to really speak about well in terms of generalization, because again, this is going to vary so much. You mentioned here vitamin C, for example, and I think I'd probably agree with you with vitamin C. It's probably one of those things where you could take it at a fraction of the RDA and you get some type of proportional benefit to it. But again, when you have a product like Qualia, where you have 40 different ingredients all mixed together, it's really hard to say, and you're going to be inaccurate with any type of generalization that you try to make about 40 different ingredients. So that's my justification for why I said what I did about the ingredients, and take it or leave it. Do your own self-experimentation. Moving on to the next question. We heard from a guy asking about the tantric semen retention videos that I did. And he said, during Tantra, I feel this rush of energy and a full body sexual high, my blood pumping, all of this without touching my dick at all. It's amazing, isn't it? And I go to sleep on this high, and the next morning I feel good, refreshed, normal. And what happened to my rush and semen during my sleep overnight? No wet dreams, boxers dry, etc. Did it all absorb into my body? Did I do it right? I think you did. You may want to give a read of the two books that I recommended, which was the Tao of Longevity, Sex, and Health. And then the other one was the Multi-Orgasmic Man. And what they talk about in those is when you're doing those tantric exercises correctly, that the semen that you have, that it gets reabsorbed into your prostate. So it does stay inside of your body, although there's probably just a little bit that works its way out. So if you haven't already, check out, if you're a guy, if you're a lady, unfortunately, I have nothing to help you with in this department, but if you're a guy, do check out the content that I have in a private area of my website about tantric semen retention. Another question I got from someone was, they said, I'm curious, did you get eye problem from TBI? I'm looking for treatment for possible TBI or asphyxia-induced attention depression and cognitive treatment. I was on tineptine for quite a while and it helped a little. Now I got 1200 milligrams of paracetam prescription and am starting tomorrow. TBI stands for traumatic brain injury, and my eye problem, my crossed eye, is something that has developed over time. I did not get it from a traumatic brain injury. I think I got it mostly just from using computers way too much over the years, and then I was born with a little bit of strabismus, crossed eye syndrome. So I think that for you, okay, you mentioned 1200 milligrams of paracetam. I think the paracetam is a pretty great idea for you. I think it'll help with the symptoms that you're suffering from. In fact, it's probably been a while since you left this comment So if you want to send me a follow-up, I'd really appreciate that. Next, we heard from Noobs, and he said, could you make a video entirely dedicated to how to find your ideal dosage? I'm a big guy, 6'5", bordering 500 kilograms and 100 kilograms, and I've been experimenting around with modafinil and some racetams, mainly aniracetam to help my ADHD. But if I use the standard doses, I don't get much of a result. I'd like to know how I could find my ideal dosage and cycle so that I can get the benefits of biohacking without running into a resistance curve where it becomes useless. Unrelated question. Which would you say is better, piracetam or aniracetam? I've read around online, and the general consensus is that aniracetam is better because it is faster acting and more powerful, and it dissolves in lipids, not water. But many people say the opposite, and I wanted an expert's opinion. Okay, with piracetam and aniracetam, those two in comparison is kind of like a different strokes for different folks type thing. Personally, I used aniracetam. I've used it a couple of times now, and I've just never been all that impressed with it. But occasionally, I'll hear from people, and they'll be like, oh my gosh, aniracetam, this stuff is amazing. They'll be really, really impressed with it. So this is one of these things where I think you just need to try both and figure out what works best. And then I'll address your first question. And this is a thing where your neurobiology, your brain, your mind is trying to always reach a state of homeostasis. It's trying to always kind of get back to baseline. And this is why you develop tolerance to things over time. And also, you know, you're a big guy, and so you're naturally going to have a bit higher tolerance to things. I'm curious, perhaps you can respond to me. Do you have a higher tolerance to alcohol? Because a lot of times people that have a high tolerance to alcohol, they're also going to, there's similarly have a high tolerance to these smart drugs. And there's a couple of things that could be going on there. A lot of times what happens is your stomach lining and your large intestine, small intestine lining can sometimes be in poor health because you're aware of, you have this thing called the microbiome going on. You've got like this internal environment of like billions or trillions of microorganisms living inside of your body and interacting with your biology, and they're involved with the digestion of everything that you consume. And if this microbiome is in non-optimal condition, then it's not going to absorb all of these cool nootropics and smart drugs that me and a bunch of other people are talking about. And you're going to be like, wow, I'm really kind of disappointed. And so there's some different steps that you can take. And this is probably a situation where you might want to read the book Headstrong by Dave Asprey. He talks about this in there about optimizing your diet for absorption of supplements, because, you know, in that book, he recommends all these different fancy mitochondrial supplements. And some of them are quite expensive, and some of them are worth it because they really do work great. But if your digestive tract is not optimized for the absorption, then you're literally just pooping a lot of these fancy supplements out. They're being deposited into the porcelain throne, right? And we don't really want that. So you might want to look into things like getting more probiotic foods into your diet, as that makes your stomach lining. And you're also going to want to do a bit more research on enzymes and optimizing your enzymes for absorption of different nootropics. And that is something that, honestly, I should probably do a piece of podcast specifically on that, because it is an issue that I come across from time to time. And then I'll also mention, you're looking for things that are going to be real potent because your tolerance is generally a bit higher as a big guy. So you might want to consider pharmaceutical grade nicotine as a nootropic. It's a really effective nootropic, and it actually does help quite a bit with ADHD. It puts you in like a nice focused state. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe that there's some studies that were done with nicotine and ADHD where it did help people out. And it's something that you take a tiny little bit of it underneath your tongue, and it works quite effectively and quite quickly. So you might want to experiment with that, and then you're going to want to experiment with the different racetams. And those are all the questions that we have in this March edition of the Biohacking Q&A podcast. I will also mention, a lot of times I have people that have like real specific issues and they want to go a bit deeper with me on what their biohacking or could be life hacking issues are. And I've been kind of coaching people, perhaps you could call it like biohacking, life coaching, for a couple of years now. And what I did was, initially what I would do is I'd get on like these Skype calls with people, and we'd have like a conversation for like an hour or 90 minutes or 2 hours sometimes. And I wanted to make this a bit more efficient. So I created this form on my website, and this is a great form. I dare say this is going to be like one of the best forms that you'll ever have the pleasure of filling out on the internet. I created this form with a bunch of different questions to kind of like assess your biohacking wellness. And I'd really encourage you to go check that form out. Hey, maybe you don't even need my consulting and my advice. But in this form, I ask a bunch of questions that perhaps will make you aware of some deficits or some factors that are really holding you back. Because we all have cognitive blind spots, right? And so I created this form based upon a bunch of different books that I've read and psychology things that I've researched. And it has a bunch of different questions that I think might help you to narrow down what your issues might be. And then, of course, you could submit that form. And if I think that I can help you, then I will let you know. And, you know, maybe we can get on a Skype call. So maybe check that out. I'll link to that below this podcast. Again, I'm Jonathan with Limitless Mindset. And as always, I look forward to a continued conversation with you.
Old school mic and a cup of black brew. Jonathan's talking like he always do. No polished script, no legal pretense. Just apartment tabs and some common sense. In a Sophia flat where the stories unfold. Girlfriend giggling, half amused, half bold. Little dog barking like it runs the show. And honestly, yeah, it probably does though. Star microphone, hit us govor best filter. Martinica edition, red and white we tie. For health and for fortune as the cold goes by. Threads of renewal in the springtime air. Biohacks and questions flying everywhere. Martinica edition, let the old fall away. Rip your wrist for a brighter day.
About Samox gain, well, I stay sharp when I abstain. You train the brain like a muscle ain't used, but no magic pill is permanent juice. Habits you build while the signal is strong might echo faint when the compound is gone. So read while it works, build circuits that last. Don't rent your brilliance, make it steadfast.
Then comes the duel of mood and drive. Tanneptine versus keeping hope alive. Tyrosine lifts you 5-HTP suits. Different keys for different moods. One tweak systems in a deeper way. But risk and reward got a price to pay. So walk that line with a careful hand. Not every shortcut is what you plan. Всяко вещество има своята цена. Martinica edition, red and white we tie. For health and for fortune as the cold goes by. Threads of renewal in the springtime air. Bio-hacks and questions flying everywhere. Martinica edition, let the old fall away. Wrap your wrist for a brighter day. Why do smart drugs work for some, not all? Rises another man's stall. Genetics whisper, chemistry sings. Delivery method changes things. Some stack bolts, some tread lights. Some chase dragons into the night. But wisdom says, track what you feel and protect the mind you're trying to heal. Все ки може керас личен свет.
Then tantra talk in the late night hour. Energy rising like a hidden power. No touch, just breathe in a focused mind. A different kind of release you'll find. Morning comes and the question remains. Where did it go through body and veins? Maybe transform, maybe just still. A quiet alchemy of breath and will. Energiata se vigine is chesva.
Martinica edition, red and white we tie. For health and for fortune as the cold goes by. Threads of renewal in the springtime air. Biohacks and questions flying everywhere. Martinica edition, let the old fall away. Wrap your wrist for a brighter day.
This March, raise a glass to Baba Marta and edify yourself at limitlessminds.com.